Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the WHFR Journal. My name is Alan Mazurek. Pleased to be with you this Friday afternoon for another hour looking at things going on in and around the Henry Ford College campus and the greater Dearborn community at large. And today on our program, in what is a bit of an annual tradition for us, and certainly an annual tradition for the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, we present coverage of the Tale of Our City's 2022 Address. The annual event features the mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights and is sponsored by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. And this year, certainly a special event. This time, welcoming in brand new Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hammoud and welcoming back, I guess, for a first full elected term of Dearborn Heights, Mayor Bill Bazzi. The event was given on Tuesday, January 25th at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course, and it certainly looks at what's going on in the communities, what to expect in the coming year. It's the first event in the Dearborn Area Chamber's Business Builder series for 2022. Jackie Lovejoy is the president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. She's going to get us started by recognizing some elected officials and special guests that were in the audience. Then we'll hear from the mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, Bill Bazzi, Dearborn Heights mayor, and Abdullah Hammoud, the brand new mayor for the city of Dearborn. A Tale of Our Cities 2022 today on the WHFR Journal.
Well, good afternoon. How is everybody today? Thanks for being here. If you take a look around the room, we have been together for the Tale of Our Cities. It was January 2020 at Warren Valley over in Dearborn Heights. And my, have things changed in 24 months. So let's give ourselves a round of applause. We've made it this far, guys. We'd like to welcome both of our new mayors. We're delighted to support our officials, Abdullah Hammoud for Dearborn and Bill Bazzi for Dearborn Heights. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations. I'd like to acknowledge our attending board members, our chair of the board, and we can hold our applause until the end. We have a full house today, everybody. Thank you. Our chairman of the board for 2022, Phil Emma of PSN Technologies, Kyle Mazurek of Comcast, Steve Henry of Leader Printing, Tim Schramm of Howe Peterson Funeral Home, Maureen Winfrey of ServPro of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, Jim Sievet of Village Ford, Ken Kentenbeel of U of M, Rick Bixman of Tire Discount House, Hassan Bazzi of Forward Cities, Ali Syed of Hype, John Zadikian of John Zadikian Multimedia, and Mike Magnone, the Melaleuca Wellness Company. Thanks so much. They steer the ship of the chamber. Thank you for being here today. We'd like to recognize all our elected officials who are with us today, and we can hold our applause till the end if you don't mind. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Andrea Robinson is here representing Senator Sylvia Santana, Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hammoud, Dearborn Heights Mayor Bill Bazzi, Wayne County Commissioner Al Heitis, and Al, I did not see you come in. There you are. Hi. It's like old home week, guys. Dearborn City Councilwoman Leslie Herrick, Dearborn Heights City Councilman Robert Constan, Bob, I always call you Bob. Dearborn Heights City Councilman Dave Abdullah. Dearborn Heights City Councilman Ray Muscat. Dearborn Heights Treasurer Lisa Hicks Clayton. And Dearborn Heights City Councilwoman Nancy Breyer. And finally, also joining us today is Mayor Tim Woolley, the City of Taylor. Thanks for being here. Congratulations on your win. I'd like to recognize also our ambassadors who help us every day. There's three of us in the office. We're 550 members strong. So if our ambassadors can stand and give a wave, these are the extra arms that reach out to our community, help us welcome our new members. So thank you all very much. Give a wave. Don't be shy. I have to tell you, it's a wonderful room. Please continue to enjoy lunch. It's just so refreshing, the old waitress in me, to hear everybody enjoying their food and just laughing and having a great time. Thank you all. We are going to go in alphabetical order. And so it's my pleasure to introduce Mayor Bill Bazzi. He has a long history of public service. During his 21 years of service in the Marine Corps, Bill Bazzi has served as military police, intelligence chief, and in operations and intelligence as a senior enlisted leader. He worked on programs supported by the U.S. State Department to help newly elected officials in Morocco and Tunisia embrace democracy. He also worked around the world to help counter terrorism, work with U.S. embassies, and train foreign militaries of U.S. allies. He first worked at Boeing and then 23 years at Ford. He's been active with veterans groups, serving as president of Ford's Veterans Network Group and commander of the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council. Please help me welcome Mayor Bill Bazzi to the stage.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess I'm on. Thank God it wasn't hot mic earlier. But I learned from last night from Joe Biden, was it the other day? But first, I want to thank everybody for being here today. I want to thank all the elected officials. I see several mayors, the commissioner, both congressional delegates are here. We have several council members. But no offense to Dearborn, I want to recognize my people here today from Dearborn Heights. We have Kim Lorenzel. She's our director of Parks and Recreation. Thank you. We have Deanne Irby. She's our new comptroller. She started Monday. We have Robert Conrad. He's the DPW director. We have Mark Hazlett. She's our HR director. HR director. And we also have Mariana. She's my chief of staff. I also want to thank Bob Ankrup and also John Zadigian, always making me look good. Appreciate you guys. We have our treasurer, Lisa Hicks Clayton. Our council, I know we mentioned earlier. Okay, good. They're all sitting almost at the same table, so that's good. If I miss anybody, let me know. We have council chair, Dave Abdullah. Council chair pro tem, Ray Muscat. Councilman Bob Constant, and I don't know if I missed anybody else. Nancy Breyer. I'm sorry, Nancy Breyer. I know she mentioned it. Thank you. Yeah, Nancy Breyer. She's our newly elected council member. So I prepared a speech, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of go through some of the items. So I was appointed a year ago. Our mayor, God rest his soul, Mayor Pelleco, passed away December of the year before. And I was appointed last year in January by the council to fill the term or to the next election, which was actually last year. So I was elected those two terms. There was a partial term and also full term per our charter. So I was elected for 4 years in November. So some of the challenges that we had, just talk about a little bit about the challenges first. We've had, when I was appointed, there was a lot of things that the mayor passed and, you know, took a lot of, you know, his knowledge with him. So, you know, coming into the office, it was chaotic. You know, we had documents, I would say like 6 feet high. You know, it was hard for me to find my desk. So I have to go through a lot of these documents to make sure what's required, scan a lot of them, whatever is not required. So we found there was a lot of, lawsuits were in like people's desk drawers. So we had to go through these and, some letters, threats by attorneys, wants to file a lawsuit. So it was, like I said, it was a challenging year. So with COVID, it was pretty tough. We were the second highest. I know Dearborn always beat us, but the highest in numbers of COVID. So we had also the flooding issues. We had over 1,600 homes. A lot of businesses were affected by the floods. We had several floods in our city. I know Dearborn had the same, same concerns. We also had a lot of changes, personnel. When I came in, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And one of the first things that I did, I met with all my directors at the time, and wanted to make sure they all know, with all my experience, with the military and also with corporate America, with both Boeing and also Ford, having zero tolerance for anything, any harassments, any bullying. I wanted to have my door open for anybody. So if anybody's been to my office, they know my door is always open. If I'm not in a meeting, my door is open. Anybody can come and talk to me, if it's a resident or even another employee. So, which actually I learned a lot. A lot of people came up to me. There was a lot of concerns, that was from, 15 years ago, or sometimes 18 years ago, that I know one case. People were comfortable coming in. Hey, my door is open. They could come in. And a lot of these things I already took note, some of the things that I wanted to change. And some stuff that I did change. I made a lot of changes, the past year. And also, we got a few more changes to come. One of the biggest challenge that we had, we had COVID, but also the flooding. We have around the Ecorse Creek, a lot of homes around the Ecorse Creek, they flood every year. I was in a meeting. I talked to a resident, been a resident for Dearborn Heights for about 60 years. So he's heard a lot of stories, a lot of people come up and they say, what are you gonna do about the flood? So when I came in, we were on the ground. Want to thank both Congresswoman Dingell and also Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. I know she had to leave. Thank you. we had several meetings. I know Dearborn was part of these meetings as well. With the state, federal, we had Wayne County. We all sat together, talked about things we need to do for the flood. So the flooding affects, it's not just Dearborn Heights, it affects a lot of communities. So some of the stuff that we started to do, we brought in, with the approval of the council, we brought in a grant writer. So he was helping us apply for a lot of grants from FEMA to purchase a lot of the homes off the Ecorse Creek. And I also brought in an engineer who has spent 30 years, with the county and also at the airport. Just to kind of look at these things, so we didn't really have a lot of maps of our sewer system. So he's starting to put all the stuff together, starting to brainstorm some issues that we've had for the past, since the city started, basically, just seeing all the concerns and also residents' concerns. So if anybody reports anything, he's the first person on the ground with the company to come in. If there's issues with the street flooding, even not part of the flood that we've had the last year, put on cameras to our sewer system to see what the issues is, what concerns we have. And so with that, with FEMA, they've been very helpful. We've applied for several grants. We purchased some of the homes I was talking about up the Ecorse Creek. So what the plan is, these homes have to be demolished per part of FEMA. You have to demolish these homes. And in the future, what we're planning on doing, we're going to try to make them like a retention-detention basin, just to make sure that we take water away from the residents of Hanford and Courier. That's the area that gets hit the most from the Ecorse Creek. And also in April, we had, with the help of our congressional delegates. Again, thank you. And also Wayne County, we had Wayne County executive show up, actually, and they were helping us with the Ecorse Creek cleanup, excuse me, in April. So we spent the whole day on Saturday. We did a lot of cleanup, took a lot of logs. We took, shopping carts, tires from the Ecorse Creek. And that's just maybe a few percent of what needs to be done. So with a partnership with Wayne County, we're talking about allocating some money, trying to clean up our Ecorse Creek. So we're in continuous dialogue with the county, trying to see what we can do. And we're planning on having a big event, cleanup event, hopefully maybe early summer, midsummer. And stay tuned. We'll make the announcement when that happens, trying to get as many volunteers. Again, we would need, our congressional delegates to, help out with that, to allocate some of the money so we can clean up the Ecorse Creek. And so some of the issues that we have, when they mentioned some of the flooding that happens from the Ecorse Creek, we actually toured, the area several times and saw some of the drains that are coming into the creek. Some of the drains already more than half with just like soot, or it has to get cleaned up. It has to be dredged. It has to be deep in the creek. And with that, we also have some people's homes that actually goes their backyard into the creek. And I've seen some of the homes, you go in there and look at it, some of them are actually the garage is tilting into the creek. So they're losing some of the property from erosion. So we're looking at that as well. So with one of the things that I've seen and also that I experienced a lot of businesses and also homeowners, they had concerns with getting permits from the building department. Obviously, I have a new building director. He's been very on site. He's on the ground. Talking to if there's any concerns with residents having issues pulling permits, and also talking to businesses. We had a lot of concerns in the past. Businesses not being able to get like licenses. Try to do certain things. So we made it, user-friendly. There was a lot of red tape, a lot of obstacles that we removed. So a lot of businesses that in the city of Dearborn Heights, they actually, I've heard a lot of compliments from them. They're saying, this is great, the way, Dearborn Heights has transitioned. It's really easier to do business in Dearborn Heights. So again, one of the things I always said, I have an open door policy. Anybody has an issue, any concern with the city, you can reach out to one of my directors or myself. I'm always open. I have two phones. If one phone's busy, call the other phone. And with that, looking forward to a great year, and we have a lot of work to do. And and also want to compliment our new city council. I know I was part of them for 3 years. I served with every one of them. And I'm looking forward to serving with you again, as a mayor, and also with the new council members. I know their heart is always in the right place. We have a lot of work to do, and I thank you for being here today. And again, if there's a lot of questions and answers later, I'll answer any questions you guys have. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I have to tell you, I have known Mayor Bazzi for many years as a city councilman. He's been a wonderful chamber supporter, and he really is boots on the ground, really a great Marine and a great example. Thank you so much. And I also have to say at this point, I've known Mayor Hammoud for almost 9 years, and we've had each other's cell phones, and we've worked on different issues, and it's hard for me just not to say, oh, Abdullah, how are you? Now I have to say Mayor Hammoud. So that's a wonderful delight for me right now to introduce our new mayor for the city of Dearborn. He's the proud son of immigrant parents. Mayor Abdullah Hamoud has been an unwavering advocate for his hometown of Dearborn for more than a decade. As mayor, he is committed to reinventing government to deliver results for working families and residents in every corner of the city. Throughout his career, Abdullah has provided bold leadership for Michigan and Dearborn with thoughtful, pragmatic approach to government that puts people first. As the city's seventh mayor, that will include investing in infrastructure, improving public health and safety, and delivering quality services while lowering the tax burden of the citizens. A product of Dearborn Public Schools and three-time graduate of the University of Michigan, Mayor Hamoud believes in the transformative power of education. He has a master's degree in business administration and public health and a bachelor's degree in science. Please help me welcome our new mayor for Dearborn, Abdullah Hamoud.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you. Good afternoon. I guess there's no microphone here. It's on here. Whoever wrote that introduction, that was great work. To our Director of Communications, Bilal, that was phenomenal. It made me sound better than I actually am. To Mayor Bill Bazzi, I look forward to the partnership. I can't go through and name all my directors because they're at work. So forgive me on that one. You know, Dearborn Heights is kind of like that younger sibling that looks up to Dearborn, but Dearborn always does it better. And so I look forward to that relationship continuing. I'm just joking. I grew up a Fortson Tractor, and for anyone that grew up a Fortson Tractor, you know that the rivalry is real, but that the rivalry is always in good spirit, and that you look to Dearborn Heights and its family, its folks right across the street. And I really look forward to the partnership over the years to come. Our cities have so much in common and so much to look forward to. As two of the state's most diverse cities, we have shared values around diversity and ensuring that we are welcoming to anyone who wants to pursue that American dream. We have shared challenges and issues like road safety and environmental sustainability. We learned last year, for example, that catastrophic flooding does not respect boundaries or borders, and is a reminder that our success in fixing that problem depends on our willingness to collaborate with one another. Most importantly, we share in community. Our residents know that crossing into Dearborn Heights is actually no crossing at all. It is common to it's coming to a second home. And hopefully that rings true for those coming from Dearborn Heights over to the city of Dearborn. Thinking of our residents has kept me grounded in what has been a moment of rapid change for our city and for our region. Among other challenges, Dearborn faces the fiscal reality of a $16 million budget shortfall that we inherited after the unsuccessful millage renewal. And so know that this budget season will be fairly difficult for the city of Dearborn. And it's a challenge that we welcome, and hopefully it's viewed as an opportunity to innovate, to bring new resources, and to enhance the efficiency of the services that we deliver today. But one thing we'll never be short of is great people. Which brings me both comfort and confidence that we can make it through anything. The people of our cities are not just dynamic and hardworking; they are a brain trust. We should not lean on them only for listening to their concerns, but also leaning on them for their ideas and for their inspirations and for their wisdom, because they have all the ideas and inspiration that we need to propel Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, God willing, into the next decade and beyond. And that's why I've said time and time again that our administration will be a venture in co-governance side by side with the people of our city. The ethic is co-governance, which will inform everything we do, including the people we hire to administer services to the public. And that's why one of my first actions as mayor was to bring one of the most competent group of expert public servants the city has ever seen. And as a team, we'll begin and end every conversation with the same question: is this in the best interest of the public that we serve? And it's in that spirit that our two cities can come together to address our shared challenges, drawing insights from our communities and translating them into concrete policies and actions that foster faith and trust. For in government, trust is the only currency that matters. If you have no trust, you have an inability to then move forward or conduct any of the change that you foresee or set out for yourselves. And I hope and I look forward to the collaboration with Mayor Bill Bazzi and all our neighborhood communities to provide that city government is still in the business of solving problems. And as you walk into the city, I hope that as you deal with any of our employees, the question we have from our employee standpoint is, what problem can we assist in solving today? Because that's the consumerism mentality we want to have at the city of Dearborn. No problem is too daunting if we face it together and know that we can and we will work side by side to make this region the most attractive place possible to start a business, to raise a family, and to lay the groundwork for excellence in governance to secure our best assets for generations to come. Now, I can, you know, I was allotted 15 minutes, and I can go on, but the reality is I've been on the job for 24 days. And I would be lying if I stood up here and talked about all the accomplishments we've already had under our belts. More than anything, I have more questions than answers. And we're digging through, we're doing the work, and we're being diligent. But what I am most excited about is the team that we have assembled, because I don't believe in that one person can change the course of a city. It takes a team of public servants who are competent, who are trustworthy, who are accessible, and who are accountable to the people. Because as the late Congressman John Dingell once said, public servants do not have power, they hold power, a power that is entrusted to them by the people of the city or the district that they represent. And that is our philosophy at the city of Dearborn. And so I look forward to leaning on those who are smarter than myself, who sit around the table, who help advise and provide direction, and hopefully coming up with a shared vision and collective vision, not only with our administrators, our public servants, but also with our residents. Because ultimately, we want their vision to become a reality. You know, aside from becoming a new mayor, I'm also the new father to a seven-week-old. And let me tell you, this is my first thank you. And God bless my wife. And you know, you always hear of, you know, the labor process, and God bless women in general, which you go through pales in what any man has ever experienced in their life. And so thank you. That's just the truth, spoken as a new father. But when I think of Dearborn 10, 15, 20 years down the road, I now think of my daughter. And I ask myself, what will it take to ensure that she raises her family here? The reality is, and I've said all along the campaign trail, that Dearborn has stagnated. And if I want my daughter to raise her family here or to actively and proactively choose Dearborn as the place that she settles down, we have to advocate for change, but change, hopefully, that is positive, that improves the quality of life for residents in all four corners of our city, that addresses the inequities that have been here for quite some time, and finally addresses some of these challenges that have lingered over the years. And so I look forward to that partnership alongside our mayor in Dearborn Heights. I look forward to the partnership with all of you in this room, to our elected officials, both at the city, county, state, and federal level. And know that Congresswoman Dingell, regardless of which district you represent, you're always gonna represent Dearborn. And so we thank you for your service as well. And with that, I look forward to the questions and answers to come, and I thank you again for having me. Thank you.
And stage. Okay.
Bill, would you join us?
Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud speaking at the A Tale of Our City's 2022 luncheon given by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday, January 25th at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course. And, of course, Mr. Hamoud, Mayor Hamoud, was, elected just this past November and sworn in not that long ago as the new mayor of the city of Dearborn, as was Dearborn Heights Mayor Bill Bazzi, who spoke before him, elected in last November's elections and recently sworn in for a first full term as mayor of the city of Dearborn Heights. Those were their opening comments, and after the break, we're going to move to the question and answer period, featuring questions, obviously, from the audience that was in attendance that day on Tuesday, January 25th. So we'll go to that next when we return here on the WHFR Journal. My name's Alan Mazurek. Pleased to be with you this Friday afternoon here on WHFR, Making Waves. We'll be right back.
Hello, WHFR listeners. It's me, Phil Mack, and I'm here to tell you that not only is Thematic on every Wednesday afternoon, it's now 3 hours long, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
What?
That's right. And I'll be bringing along my weekly fave song or album countdowns, as well as a variety of subject-related themes. Once again, from 1 to 4 p.m. every Wednesday on Thematic, that's my show, I'll be playing a wide musical palette of independent artists, many of them local, that I've championed for the past 10 years. I'd be honored to have you with me on my musical sojourns, and maybe we'll both get lucky if I remember to push or click the correct buttons.
Hey, there's an obscure music reference in there.
My reason why is community.
My reason why is leadership.
My reason why is to inspire others.
Why do thousands of teenagers here in Michigan participate in high school sports and activities?
My reason why is friendship.
Their reasons are as diverse as the students themselves. But the one thing they all share is the opportunity to have fun and learn important life lessons. Lessons like supporting their community, learning how to be a leader, and building lifelong friendships.
My reason why is defying expectations.
Is there a grade school or middle school student in your family? Then encourage them to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school.
My reason why is to make a change in the world.
This message presented by the NFHS and the Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Welcome back to the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Great to be with you this afternoon. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Kitty Love along at that time, taking us on a trip down Highway 61. Some blues for your Friday afternoon here on WHFR, Making Waves. Today on the WHFR Journal, we're revisiting the A Tale of Our City's 2022 Luncheon, which took place Tuesday, January 25th at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course and featured the mayors of both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. The brand new mayor of Dearborn, Abdullah Hamoud, and Dearborn Heights Mayor Bill Bazzi being welcomed to the stage and the podium to address the assembled members of the Dearborn Area Chamber and other dignitaries as well. And of course, we do want to congratulate both mayors on their victories in November and their inaugurations. And obviously, hope the best for them and the cities during their terms as mayor. Also want to mention outgoing Mayor of Dearborn, Jack O'Reilly, and of course the late Daniel Poletko, who was the mayor of Dearborn Heights the last time we offered coverage of the Tale of Our City's luncheon here on the WHFR Journal. And obviously that was a couple of years ago. Anyway, sort of an annual tradition for us here at WHFR to bring you the event, and we're going to turn next to the second part of the luncheon, which of course consisted of questions and answers from members of the audience that were assembled at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course on Tuesday, January 25th. A Tale of Our City's 2022, introducing the new mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights here on the WHFR Journal.
So we'll take Q&A from the audience right now for both of our mayors, and you have lavaliers so you can walk around. You don't have to be, unless you need to hold on to the podium for
support,
for any turbulence. Is there anybody who'd like to start? And I will work the room. Anybody have opening questions? I have one that will get us starting and you both can answer, okay? With two new administrations in place, what can businesses and residents expect to see in terms of cooperation and joint activities and programs between the two cities?
Since I went first, I'll let him go first this time.
That's a great question. And so in the city of Dearborn right now, we're still finalizing our restructure. We are moving with reorganizing the city. And the way that we operate in order to best meet the needs of our residents, including our small business owners, our large business owners, and our entrepreneurs. For example, some of those reorganizations mean moving our planning and our permitting division all within our zoning under economic development. So you have one department that you will deal with as it pertains to planning, permitting, and zoning, whereas previously those three sub-departments were in three different departments. When you walked into the city, you didn't know with who to coordinate with or who to deal with. And so once we get our organizational structure in order, I then hope to maybe reach out to Mayor Bill Bazzi and see what joint services we can have. Because as many of you know, when you drive down Ford Road, the left side is Dearborn, the right side is Dearborn Heights. Or if you make a left on Gully, the right side is Dearborn Heights, the left side is Dearborn. And so there's a lot of opportunities for us to collaborate to best provide for our residents, because ultimately that's what we're in the business of doing, delivering a high level of public service that meets the needs of our residents day in and day out.
Thank you, Mayor Hamoud. And I do agree with you. We do have to work together. And I know there's been some businesses that actually reached out, you know, that they're in between Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. So this is something I'm going to call you on that to help us out with some of these concerns. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, some, you know, residents of Dearborn, they own businesses in Dearborn Heights, and there's some residents in Dearborn Heights that own businesses in Dearborn. So that's the thing. Even though you're a Dearborn Heights resident, they have a business in Dearborn, they're asking us for help, even though the business in Dearborn. So this is something we probably definitely need to collaborate on. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, my building department, you know, have a great team in place right now at the building department. Great inspectors, you know, have an amazing also building director. And some of the stuff that we've had issues with in the past is the time when they apply to get a permit, you know, these businesses are idle. And that's not acceptable to me. You know, people purchase these buildings, they lease buildings. They want to get up and go and just, you know, start operating their business. So we removed a lot of the obstacles that were in place back before my time. And a lot of businesses, they're actually, there's a short window, so I'm going to try to do a timeline for every business. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be working on in the future, in the next, probably this year, is to see if when somebody applies for a permit for a business, to see, okay, they applied on this date here, and how long did it take that business to actually go through the process to get their CFO, permits to operate that business. So, and in addition, as you mentioned, Mayor Hamoudi, and also the Planning Commission, the Zoning Commission, I do have some new appointees. And I'm trying to make sure that we have people who are business friendly. And also, I'm getting a new attorney for the Planning Commission who's going to be knowledgeable and does not put obstacles for businesses, just to make sure as long as we follow the guidelines, the rules, you know, then there shouldn't be an issue for them to operate.
Okay, thank you both. We have a question from Russ Calahuna, president of Henry Ford College.
Thank you, Jackie. Mayor Bazzi, congratulations on your new role, and I want to say that we have over 1,500 students at Henry Ford College from your fine city, and we are open to hearing how we can serve you more, and including getting more of your students to come to us. Mayor Hamoud, I appreciate your comments. As a supporter of yours and a citizen of your town, I've got a softball question for you and then a hardball question for you. The softball question is, and you can take this however you want, but you're a new dad, which is a tough role. You're a new chief executive, which is a tough role, maybe a little less tough than a new dad. How are you holding up? I drive by your town often. I saw you, looks like you cleaned the snow off your driveway. Someone did that. I hope it wasn't Mom. It looks like you're upholding the standards of our community, and I appreciate that. So my first softball question is, how are you holding up with all those new duties? And the hardball question is, you said you want your daughter to stay in Dearborn. Are you ready to commit that she'll be at Henry Ford College when she's ready? I appreciate both of you taking on new roles. It's a hard time to be a leader, and you're both doing well.
Thank you so much, Russ. So for those who don't know, Russ was also a member of our transition team. And so when I talk about the tremendous servants that we've assembled, Russ was at that table helping us identify the qualified talent. And so thank you, Russ, for being a part of that team. To the first question, we're holding up. I mean, fatherhood is the greatest blessing. And I tell everyone, I look forward more to fatherhood than I did for the mayorship. That's just speaking honestly. I send my emails at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so my directors are typically asking, why are you up around that time? But, you know, we have interval sleeping at this point in time. And so it's been great. And then on her being, coming over to Henry Ford College, as an alumnus myself who dual enrolled there, I see no problem with it. And so if that's what she chooses, then by all means, go Henry Ford. I also owe U of M a lot of money, though, so I'm just saying.
I think he'll forgive you your loan. So thank you, Russ. I look forward also working with you. And I myself, actually, I just tell you a small story. Before I joined the Marines, actually, I took a couple of classes at Henry Ford. And I know times were tough. You know, we came from a very humble beginning. It was hard to afford, actually, college, so I had to work midnights. And in the daytime, I would go to school at Henry Ford. So one day, trigonometry class, I'll never forget that, I was so exhausted, 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, so I worked 12 hours at night. So I got off work, went home, showered, went to school. And it was like an exhausting day. I fell asleep in class. So when I got up, there was nobody in the classroom. So everybody left the classroom. They shut the lights. I woke up. I was so embarrassed. I'm sorry. I dropped the two classes, and I joined the Marines. And he was the
So. Did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did.
Good afternoon. What I want to, first of all, congratulations to both mayors. I think our two cities are very blessed to have two very strong mayors run our communities. And I can tell you, as a resident, I'm very, very happy to have you guys in charge. The question to both of you guys is, one of the things that Dearborn and Dearborn Heights has always been known for is tradition. You know, everything's been run the traditional way, whether it's in Dearborn Heights or in Dearborn. And I, as a realtor, of course, have seen it dealing with both communities on a regular basis for the last 30-plus years. But the reality is traditions have to sometimes be put on the side in order to move forward with new things learned, whether in college, you know, for both of you guys, or coming from the corporate world, I know, and the military for Mayor Bazzi. What types of changes in general do you plan on making that maybe are outside our traditions, but are going to greatly benefit our residents? Thank you.
Okay, so one of the things that during COVID, I learned a lot. You know, we had, when I was on council at that time before appointed to be the mayor, we had a lot of youth engagement. So we actually, we had three high schools, youth from the Key Club, the National Honor Society. We partnered with them. They came in and they were helping us with a lot of the food drives, you know, the toy drives, the Toys for Tots. So there's a lot of things. And one of the things, you know, get a chance to really interact with the youth, trying to get, you know, what their thoughts are. You know, not like, okay, you're talking to some, the people that have been in the city for like, say, 30, 40 years. You know, as you mentioned, the tradition, we wanted to just to go outside the box and talk to our youth because, you know, I always said, you got to take care of our senior citizens because, you know, they took care of us. Now you got to take care of our youth because they're going to take care of us one day. And plus, I got a chance to see some amazing, amazing young men and ladies, you know, with, you know, just they're so, they're brilliant. I mean, they were a lot smarter than me at that age. And so I got a chance to really, you know, brainstorm some ideas, you know, what they want to do. And, you know, in Dearborn Heights, you know, we had this young lady, she actually started a UN club. And it's got different cities. Dearborn Schools is actually part of it. So she's from Dearborn Heights, from Crestwood. So she started this this UN club. And I actually had, and Hamoud is actually part of it. He's one of the advisors. Thank you, Mr. Hamoud. So this is some of the stuff that I actually, I look forward to, you know, talking to these youth, you know, just to see what their thoughts, what they want to do, what kind of changes. And I take a lot of notes. So whenever they, you know, they have some like suggestions, and I'm going to create a youth commission also to come in and just give us ideas. You know, what can we do as a community to improve? Because again, you know, the youth are our future. You know, we need to know what they want. You know, I was talking to a few residents, you know, a few weeks ago. He was telling me about his kids, you know, they graduated, you know, from college, and he's trying to keep the kids in Dearborn Heights, no offense to Dearborn. Yeah. He had actually purchased some homes for them, and this is something that I want, you know, it's like the community to stay together. You know, if parents, you know, they want to keep the kids in the area, not for the kids to say, you know what, I don't want to live in this city, I want something different. So this is something that I'm trying to attract, you know, people to stay within our city.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that question, Councilman. Prior to, you know, serving as mayor, I served in the state legislature for 5 years. And one of my roles there was I was the vice chair for the state's largest budget, the Health and Human Services budget. It's roughly $30 billion. And so I helped manage that budget for a few years. We challenged the way pharmaceutical benefits were always delivered for Medicaid. And what it resulted in was roughly over $150 million in annual savings to the state Medicaid program. And while residents or those Medicaid recipients always still had their Medicaid card received their healthcare services as normal. On the back end, we saved over $150 million by improving the manner in which we delivered those services. But what it took was challenging the way things had always been done. At the city of Dearborn, we had a thoughtful transition where prior to assuming office on January 1st, we worked for 2 months doing deep dives into each department. We sat with every director at the time, we sat with departmental staff, we had community conversations, and we had a community survey. And we used all that information to inform our decision making, which is what has led us to a whole new organizational structure for the city of Dearborn, where we think there's going to be operational efficiencies to be had because we challenged the way things had been done. It made sense at the time, maybe 20 years ago, to have zoning, planning, and permitting into three separate departments. But what we realized was, in speaking with small business owners, when they walked in through the front doors, they didn't know who to speak with. There was no liaison to help navigate them through this process. And so by pulling them under one umbrella, creating a process for them to have a contact point, you improve the delivery of service, you improve the overall experience, you improve the outcome, and hopefully bring in more dollars and just that idea that Dearborn is open to business, all while challenging the way things have been done. I think when you speak to tradition or culture, you talk about the things that make Dearborn unique. Dearborn is, you know, the seventh largest city in the state, but it has that small town feel, where your neighbors and your friends grow to be family. And they're there for you in moments of joy and there for you in moments of sorrow and struggle. That's the uniqueness of Dearborn. Now, whether your streets get plowed, if Carlisle is first and then, you know, the southwest, then east and the west, all you care is that your streets get plowed. If we can do it more efficiently by re-navigating which streets get plowed first, by all means, let's ask those questions now. The way I see it is coming in, we have an opportunity to rethink the way government operates, lean on the new ideas of the new directors we have at the table, and lean on our residents. A lot of our residents, most of the great ideas come from residents. That's what I've realized. And so through our community surveys, through interacting, through our Department of Communications and Community Relations, we're fielding a lot of these ideas, and it's bringing a lot of great improvement. Just last week, for example, our DPW truck driver was driving down a street, and there was roadkill in the neighborhood street. DPW does not have the directive to pick up roadkill. This was something that was determined some time ago. I have no idea why. The individual took the roadkill and threw it onto the front lawn of the resident, put on the side. Then he had to call animal control. Animal control can come out and then grab that animal. I spoke with my new director, and we're going to try to push a new policy where our DPW drivers can't just pick up the roadkill and take it back. It made no sense that you put roadkill to the side, wait for someone else to come back out. I ended up going to pick up the possum myself. I never realized how big possums were, but I learned that experience myself too. But that's just challenging the way things have been done, but you're not going to be able to challenge them until these issues kind of come to light. And so a part of it is also just being patient and learning as the issues come to light.
Hi, I was very excited to come and hear you both speak. My name is Lisa Rogers, and I'm new to the area. And my question is, what are your individual cities doing in regard to sustainability and climate change and how that affects just about everything we've been talking about today, every element, and also how you work together and how you're working together with the rest of the people in the region and the state on that subject matter. Thanks.
That's a great question. Thank you so much for that. Prior to becoming mayor, and I think I'll say this fairly frequently, given I only have 3 weeks on the job, so most of my experiences will be prior. One of the things I worked on alongside our city council, as well as some of our environmentalists and local residents, was adopting the city's first ever fugitive dust ordinance. This was to push back on a lot of the poor air quality in the south end, the heavily industrialized area of our city. And so we know that we can do more on that front. From an environmental sustainability perspective, I think that falls under the broader umbrella of public health. So what we're doing in the city of Dearborn is we're actually bringing back a public health director. And it only makes sense. We had a public health department that was abolished back in 2011. And so we're bringing back a public health director to serve in an advisory role and to work with our local stakeholders. We not only have a COVID pandemic, we know we have an environmental justice crisis on our hands. We know that we have a mental health and opioid and substance use crisis on our hands. We know that our public safety departments can use a support through a public health lens. And so we're trying to reimagine what it also means to deliver those types of services. And so we're thinking outside the box. And that type of coordination involves your Wayne County, which is the established public health authority in the region, as well as working alongside the Health and Human Services Department at the state. You're only as strong as your relationships are with your neighbors. Because the issues that we address, whether it be the climate crisis, whether it be mental health, they don't stop at the border between Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. It impacts residents regardless of your race, color, ethnicity, or your zip code. And we have to acknowledge that and understand that it's our pooled resources, whether it be people or dollars, that's going to help address our pooled problems. And so that's the mindset that we have coming in.
So we also had the same challenge, you know, with we use Wayne County, obviously, with the health department for any information, especially with everything's going on right now with COVID. So we as a city, we don't really have a health department. However, I've had several doctors reach out to me. They wanted to create a commission, a health commission, just to be able to see what's going on in the city. And so they can actually make recommendations, you know, that we can flow it up the chain of command, you know, to the county. But for the time being, we're not, you know, we're a smaller city, you know, with our budget, much smaller than Dearborn, obviously. We don't have a budget to bring in a health director. You know, however, with the health commission that we're going to create with the help of our city council approving it here probably in the next few months, you know, I'm working out the details. But, you know, with Dearborn, we had, you know, mentioned the collaboration, you know. I mean, I do thank Dearborn for a lot of things that they've actually helped us with during COVID, with also including the fire department. We had the Dearborn Fire Department, I know Dearborn Heights Fire Department. They were part of the vaccination site at, I call that Civic Center, but the Performing Arts Building. I grew up in Dearborn, by the way, so I went to Fordson. I wisened up, went to Dearborn Heights. But I do, you know, thank Dearborn for, I mean, they were there for us. You know, we couldn't really, you know, have vaccination sites in the beginning when COVID, you know, was at its peak. So this is some of the stuff that we're working on, hopefully with the new commission that we have in place, that they can help us, you know, brainstorm ideas to see what we can do, improve that service in our city.
I'm going to add just one more point on sustainability. It's also not the sexy stuff that people talk about in the media. It's more than just autonomous vehicles or solar panels. We have to get at fundamental problems. In Dearborn South End, asthma rates are 2 to 4 times greater than the state average. We have a flooding crisis that impacted 20,000 homes out of 35,000 in the city of Dearborn. And so for me, we talk about sustainability, talk about the fundamentals first, and then get over to the autonomous vehicles and things of that nature. Just why you wanted to hit that point.
Here we go.
First of all, congratulations to Mayor Hamoud and Mayor Bazzi on your elections. I think Dearborn and Dearborn Heights are in great hands. You know, both of you mentioned how the pathway to revitalization for each of your cities is a collaborative approach with partners of the county, state, and federal level. With our state sitting on unprecedented funds, what's top on your lists to use that money for that's secured from the state when it's secured and when it's allocated down?
That's a great question. Having just left the state budget, the state is sitting on a $20 billion surplus, for those who might not be aware. And a lot of that is obviously one-time historic funding that has come from the federal government. Top of the list is obviously flooding. This is infrastructure improvements that no city can fund on its own. And so we have to think innovatively about how we go about in coordinating that. Each city also received its own allocation of American Rescue Plan Act dollars. I think while we determine how to spend that, what the cities are monitoring is, well, how are the buckets going to be structured at the county? And how are the buckets going to be structured at the state? So, for example, Dearborn receives $47 million. But our $47 million might be able to be amplified where it's $100 million or $200 million if we draw down matching dollars from the county, from the state, or other philanthropic organizations across the country. And so we're waiting to monitor that, but definitely infrastructure, whether it be water and sewage, but also IT infrastructure in the city of Dearborn. We need severe updates on the IT front, making it so that all our communications, all our systems can communicate on the back channels, and also making it a much more friendlier experience to our residents. If you've been to our website, let's just say it needs some improvement.
Thank you. So we also, we received the money, the ARPA money, from a little over $24 million. So one of the things that we're doing in Dearborn Heights, we're actually going to go off for bid here in the next probably month or two, probably within a month, I would say, to bring in a company, a consultant, to actually manage that the ARPA to see where it goes. And this is something huge, you know. I mean, and most of you know, you deal with government. You got to get, every penny has to be accounted for. So you got to make sure that for every dollar you spend, you got to make sure that, okay, this is spent on this, and it's also within the guidelines what's set by the feds. So this company that we've talked to several companies, one of the companies is going to be writing a bid, I mean, the spec sheet, you know, to go out for bid. They're going to try to get us, like say, for as Mayor Hamoud mentioned, say you have we have $24 million. You can maximize the money by going after funding from the county and also the state. So the $24 million that we have, it can actually be, it could be like a $40-50 million projects. So some of the stuff that we're thinking about doing, so we actually submitted a few proposals to the county to see what they can partner with us on. And so the county can say, okay, these are the projects. Okay, we're going to choose this project from Dearborn Heights, and we're going to help you fund this here, but you have to put so much money. So we don't have the details yet on how much money certain projects are going to cost us. But one of the biggest things that we need to work on right now, it's very critical to the city. Obviously, we have a lot of infrastructure issues that we got to work on. But one of the most critical that we need as soon as, like, as this year, we got to, you know, make a decision is a fire station. We have a big problem at one of the fire stations on Beach Daily. That's the main fire station. The way it was built, it was not built proper by the builder that built that station at the time was in 99. So we have some of the walls are shifting, some doors are not opening, so we have to definitely go to a site. We're looking at a site right now where we're going to put in a new station. So this is some of the ARPA money we're going to be using on is definitely this project, you know, to take care of our first responders.
Do we have any other questions? Oh, here we go. I was going to say, because we have time for about one more. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Jen. Hello, mayors. Congratulations to you both on your elections. I'm a longtime Dearborn resident. Also, I opened up the business, Small Business Dearborn Co. Mobility City, and where we sell, service, scooters, walkers, wheelchairs, stair lifts, things like that to get you moving. And I had a question about the infrastructure. Right in front of our store, which is the old, for you Dearbornites, the old Pat's Beer Wine drive-thru. Okay, who remembers the Pat's Beer Wine drive-thru? Plenty of people. So it's a great location for us. It's the busiest intersection in the two counties, Wayne and Oakland, at Fordo and Telegraph. The problem is I've been trying to get answers about the easement and the telephone poles and the curbs that are right in front of our store. If you go across the street north of the block, you can see where the curbs are up normally, you know, 5 or 6 inches. And where we're at, we have a lot of folks that are parking on the sidewalk. They think it's the street, and it's not. And so I wanted to talk, and I keep getting kind of convoluted answers, lack of a better phrase, about who's responsible for it, Mayor Hamoud. So I'm wondering if you can have someone talk to me about the infrastructure there, because I've talked to the county, the state, the city, and I've talked to AT&T about the telephone poles, because when you go around the corner of Dockstader, there's too low for trucks to get back there. Now, telephone poles up down the street a little bit higher, on Telegraph they're higher, so I just need some help navigating that. I'm happy to partner, but I just need that for our elderly customers that come in and they can't get by some of the cars and things like that.
Of course. So Zainab, can you raise your hand? So Zainab Hussain is my chief of staff, so connect with her so we can provide you with a follow-up. Yep.
And Bob, we have your ribbon cutting frame right up front.
Oh, nice.
So don't leave without it. So let's thank both of our mayors. Thank you very, very much. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Here, I can shake your hands. Or I can shake your hands later.
Oh. Oops. We'll see.
Pleasure. At this point, I'd love to bring up Phil Emma, our chair of the board, to wish you all well and enjoy the rest of the snowy day. Phil, come on up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you to both of our mayors for sharing their vision with us. Thank you for all of you that attended. We at the Chamber certainly look forward to a fantastic 2022 and hopefully get things moving forward in the direction. Very excited on some of the events, as you've seen on the screen at the beginning, that are up and coming. Certainly look forward to having you there and working with us. But again, thank you all for coming and enjoy the rest of your day.
A Tale of Our Cities 2022 here on the WHFR Journal. We want to especially thank the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce for making it possible for us to bring you coverage of this event here on the WHFR Journal, and also Eric Blazek from Impact Events, who was very helpful in getting us the audio of the event, which took place on Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Alan Mazurek. You've been listening to the WHFR Journal. Thanks so much for being with us this Friday afternoon here on WHFR Making Waves. Kitty Love comes up next with a trip down Highway 61, some blues for your Friday afternoon here on WHFR. And then, of course, at 4 o'clock, the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway show gives us more rock and jumpin' blues for your Friday afternoon into evening here on WHFR Making Waves. Do have a great weekend, and we look forward to seeing you next time here on the WHFR Journal. Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn at 89.3, online at WHFR.fm, making waves.
The Henry Ford College Learning Lab is your central location for academic support. They strive to assist students and faculty with techniques that are evidence-based and will increase your academic success. The Learning Lab offers in-person and online services to help you succeed. They offer tutorial assistance provided by faculty, professional, and student tutors, one-on-one academic assistance, including strategies for improving test-taking and studying, workshops and presentations to classes or groups on strategies for learning success, study groups and review sessions on a variety of subjects, hands-on learning resources such as anatomical models in our bone room, computers, printing, copying, and scanning. For more information, please visit hfcc.edu/learnlab.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The longest highway.